From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the Jack and Spike Show.
Welcome back to the Jack and Spike Show. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis signs a law that I agree with because I think it's very base and very good indeed. Mark Zuckerberg is being accused of slow-walking child safety inquiries because everyone knows that Facebook is indeed trash. It's garbage, and we should get rid of it, including Meta. But before we get to all that, Powerball, money, greed, it's all coming to a head. Am I right or am I right, Spike? I mean,
there are people out there. What it takes to impress us these days in any aspect of our life, it takes more and more and more and more to shock
money.
Us. Remember when $1 million was like all the money in the world? Jed's a millionaire. The Ed McMahon would show up on your front porch with a big check for $1 million.
I got $1 million, right? Got to get that $1.1 billion Powerball lottery ticket and play the whole money game, even though the, like, what is it? 50% of people who win the lottery are more depressed.
Are miserable and broke.
Miserable. They're broke.
Ruins their lives.
Ruins their lives. There's been many studies about this, but we all want it because I'll be the exception to the rule, won't I? So everybody's talking about this as if it's a good thing. I would like to hearken back to something that Mike Lewis said the last time the Powerball story came up, which is that he had this great idea from his experience in South America, where the lottery system is set up much differently.
Really?
It's not these big, massive dollar amounts. It's small amounts of $50,000, $100,000, $150,000 that spread out over the entirety of the pot. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So you have more amounts of life-changing money going to more people as opposed to a huge concentration of wealth going to one person who will likely ruin their life with it. Now, I happen to think that our fixation on money and things is a disease that we have been coached into. It is a thought process that we have adapted. And I think that we really need to stray away from it because happiness cannot come from a thing. I think somebody once said, you never see a U-Haul behind a hearse. Do you know?
That's right? Brilliant.
And the reason is because we all know that you can't take it with you. But we're told that material goods in some way, shape, or form will make us happy. Money will make us happy. That's what people say, right?
Yeah.
Now, but as someone who was once very, very poor, and now I am not poor, I can say that some of my happiest memories in life, empirically, was when I was flat broke. I'm talking about broke as broke can be, and my friends and I would have poor Thanksgiving.
Okay.
We would have poor Christmas. We'd have to make stuff for each other.
That's beautiful.
Or we would go out, we'd go to the Save Mart, kind of, the bottom of the bin.
Sure,
grocery,
Dollar General.
And we would spend whatever money we had to make a Thanksgiving as it possibly could be. Now, why is that the case? Community, right?
Yeah.
It's because of community.
Time and care
with other human beings.
Yeah.
And what do we do now? I read a story last Christmas about the percentage of people that don't even bother to take the things that they buy for people for Christmas out of the Amazon box. They just remove the label.
Put a bow in an Amazon box?
Put a bow and some wrapping paper on it.
It's genius. Let me write that down. It sucks.
Americans have a problem with materialism, and that's largely been perpetrated by the advertising industry, where you need to have things in order to be a happy or fulfilled person, right?
Yeah, but let me give the other side of the coin for just a second.
Here comes Spike with a bad take. Everybody loves a bad take.
Here comes Spike. We can do it live. We don't need to record.
Do we have it? Because if we have it, I want to hear it. It's so great.
Spike.
Yes.
Bad take.
This is a great take.
Spike's going to have a bad take. Everybody loves a bad take.
And here comes Spike's.
Okay, so you're trying to tell me that
not everybody who plays the lottery has dreams of owning 4 jet skis. Not everybody who plays the lottery has dreams of a mansion.
I'm talking about the lottery.
You said we chase possessions and material things. Maybe I misunderstood your directive here. I think people who play, and I'm talking about the lottery. You're right. Of course we have too many material things.
Okay, thank you. That's all I wanted you to say.
Of course we do.
We'll move on to another story.
No, I'm just saying, most of the folks who chase the Powerball
put
their head on the pillow every night worried about how they're going to make mortgage, how they're going to make their bills.
Mm.
Do they have enough dental insurance for their kids? How they're going to pay for college, heaven forbid, their kid wants to chase a degree somewhere.
Right.
People who play the lottery think that, economic stress is one of the leading causes of divorce, of bad health, of heart issues. People who play the lottery, for the most part, I think, are just trying to say, I'd love to go to sleep one night and not have to worry anymore.
When you buy the $2 lottery ticket, Does anybody want to guess what you're actually buying? Laura, what are you actually buying when you spend that $2?
Hope.
Oh, hope, indeed.
It springs eternal.
Hope springs eternal.
4 days of hope, yeah.
You are buying 4 days of a fiction, which makes your brain feel good, right? Mm-hmm. Because you can think of all the things in your life that you can change with money, right? I'm not removed from this. The reason I stopped playing Powerball, whatever, was because I found myself being intoxicated by a life that I didn't actually want. Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense, yeah.
And so I think you ask most people, like, what do you want in life? They say, well, I want health and happiness and a family, blah, 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 blah. You can have those things. Certainly doesn't cost us $1.1 billion to have those things.
No, it doesn't.
So that's why I personally don't think anybody should play it, personally. I think that we should all frown upon this, and we should – I think if you want to talk policy, I think that we should do what they do in South America. This $1.1 billion should be chopped up and given out to – the however many people. It's a life-changing amount of money. $10,000, $20,000, $25,000.
Yeah, it's enough to put your head on the pillow at night and get some sleep.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. You're so right. Instead of one person getting ahead, then you would have, oh, I don't know, a couple thousand people getting ahead.
Oh, we can't have that.
We can't have that, though, because we can only have in this cutthroat dog-eat-dog world of America. Speaking of, by the way, Ron DeSantis, former presidential candidate. No, wait,
Yeah, former presidential candidate, governor of Florida.
Right.
Yeah, you called it right.
But he wasn't really a candidate.
Sure
he was. He's kind of half a candidate.
You're
three quarters of a candidate.
Too soon. Maybe, give him his dream. Give him his 4 days of hope.
Give him the lifts, and then all of a sudden he becomes a candidate. So he passed a law, or signed it into law, which was this idea that kids under the age of 14 will have no access to social media whatsoever.
Right.
This is a great law. This should be federal law, quite frankly. The data on this is as clear as smoking. The data on this is as clear as any other. What we know, drinking, you name it. Social media is damaging to young minds. Personally, I think it should be 16, but then everybody calls me a fascist. I don't think that we realize what it means for a child, a developing human being, to bond in a parasocial way to a fiction, right? To the social media, which is not real. I was speaking to a younger person the other day, I'm old, everybody. I'm now old. So
welcome to the club. We're making jackets. You're going to love them.
I'm speaking to somebody who was born in this is going to make me sound so old. They were born in the year 2000. So they are significantly younger than I am because I'm like the 90s. And they're like, what?
When?
So and they were talking about how they were using a social media app where you can give kudos to another person. And then they were giving kudos to somebody on this app. And then all of a sudden they don't like that person anymore. So they want to remove those kudos, and they couldn't remove those kudos. And it was causing them deep emotional distress, knowing that the person on the opposite side of the app, who they no longer liked, was receiving kudos from them, even though they wanted to do take backsies on those kudos. Now, just think about this for 2 seconds. Let's just hypothetically contextualize this. Okay. There is a group of men, and they are on boats that are heading towards Normandy. Okay. Mm-hmm. And they are racked with fear because they are about to be mowed down by 50 caliber machine guns and light artillery as Nazi planes swoop over their heads. Okay.
Right.
And they're thinking to themselves, I might not get back to see my wife, but at least I'm fighting fascism. And that caused a certain amount of anxiety, but there was a motivation there, right?
Sure.
Fighting the Nazis.
It was valid.
Smash cut to me talking to this person. I wanted to take my kudos back, and I can't take my kudos back. And so now they think that I like them, even though I do. This is madness. This is madness.
Yeah, it's pretty
This
weird.
Is insanity, and we need to stop. We need to not have this. This is an affliction that we have purchased for ourselves, and we have adopted into our lives, and we need to get rid of it. And most certainly, it should be, in my humble opinion, federal law if you're under the age of 16. You can't use social media.
Well, that was the initial bill, was 16 and under can't have social media. And that didn't pass last year. Or DeSantis vetoed that last year. So they came back with 14 and 15 year olds can have social media with parental permission.
I'm fine with it. I'm fine with it.
I was going to ask, because I still think even sometimes 14 is too young, even if your parents are aware. Because just because your parents say okay, they may not be clearly aware of how much danger that's letting into your world. At 14.
Yeah, I would even say, though, my guy, and tell me, because you've raised young ladies, but one of them is my age.
So, right.
But in the age of social media, the comparison, what young men do to other men's physiques, you know what I mean? What young women do to other women's physiques. I read a story the other day about a 17-year-old kid who was able to get a prescription for testosterone from some Eastern European country. He's 17 years old. His T levels are already, they're higher than John Curley's.
Yeah, you know they're a foot above his head. Yeah, they're high.
So he starts juicing himself, and he ends up with too much blood in his system, because that's what happens when you take large amounts of testosterone. Your body starts producing too much blood.
Oh.
And so he ends up going to the hospital, and they're trying to figure out what's wrong. Take his T levels. They're like 2,000 mLGs. So this kid, solely because of what he saw on Instagram and Facebook and the like.
Right, the unrealistic comparisons.
Looking at these guys who are all juiced out of their mind, like John Curley on peptides and
screw yourself.
Hey, John.
Just screw yourself.
John, we're just talking about, come on, John, we're just talking about.
You know this to be true.
You know this to
come
be
on.
True, John.
John, just screw yourself.
I'm on steroids. You're on steroids. We can talk about steroids. There's no reason why that kid needs to do that. The only reason he does that because he sees other people like me who have six-pack abs and who are chiseled and roided out of their minds at 36, and he thinks, I want to look like that guy, when that's actually a terrible idea.
It is a horrible idea.
All right, so Baltimore. Spike, you are from Baltimore, unfortunately. And a bridge collapsed. It's the Key Bridge in Baltimore, which you broke it down. It's basically Baltimore looks like a clock. The infrastructure around it.
We have, in Baltimore, they have what's called the Beltway. It's a circular highway system that runs around the city of Baltimore.
Okay.
And imagine if the 405 circled the entire city of Seattle, if that were geographically possible.
Okay.
And I-5 would cut through it, because I-95 cuts through Baltimore. The Beltway goes around. Now, between 3 and 4 o'clock, there's a waterway. Like Elliott Bay cuts Seattle and West Seattle, right? There's that waterway. So the Key Bridge, 30,000 cars a day go through that. Key Bridge was built in 1970.
Okay.
There's a tunnel that runs under the harbor as well, built in the 50s. And the bridge was we needed it back in the 70s. Imagine they need it today. Anyway, this tanker ship filled with 100,000 tons of freight.
Mm-hmm.
That's 200 million pounds of freight.
Mm-hmm.
Cargo ship leaves 1:30 in the morning, leaves the port, making its way through the harbor out to the international waterways.
Making its way downtown. You know what I'm talking about, Laura. You know what I'm talking about. Take the next line. Making its way downtown.
Driving fast.
Faces past.
And I'm homebound.
That's right. And then what happens?
There's video that shows, I mean, it's incredible that there's actual video that shows this exact, this calamitous, what did you call it earlier?
Catastrophic
failure.
Yeah, catastrophic failure.
This tanker under 8 knots power, which is standard to leave a port with full cargo load, loses power. And then, because all the ship goes dark in the video, you can see, and then the lights come back on, and then the lights go dark again, it loses power again, and then one more quick flash of light, and then it's gone. The ship is dark. Without power means it can't slow, it can't steer.
Mm-hmm.
And this 200 million tons of freight is coming at this major arterial bridge in Baltimore, hits the span at exactly the right spot to topple this thing like a house of cards.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when the power goes out, first thing that happens is the boat drops anchor by design, by technical design. But at 8 knots and 200 million pounds of cargo, the anchor's just dragging along the bottom. It's not slowing the boat at all.
Just picking up a bunch of old bikes
and cars,
Cal Ripken,
and maybe some lobsters that were down there, you know.
Some Cal Ripken
commemorative tankards.
There we go.
Thanks a lot. Well, let me tell you the good news here today. And I know the six people are still missing, and I miss them. Six people are still missing from the boat, but when the boat lost power, the boat sent out a mayday, okay, as is, you know, good procedure, standard procedure.
Yeah.
When the boat sent out a mayday, the Maryland State Patrol were able to begin the stopping of traffic. They stopped the flow of traffic across this major arterial bridge. So when the boat hit and dropped the bridge, some cars went into the water, but nobody that was traveling went into the water or were lost. The six people that are still missing were part of an 8-man pothole fixing crew that was on the bridge. Some of the videos you can actually see the bridge collapse and the truck work of the road crew spills into the Patapsco River, and all 8 guys go in. 2 of them have been recovered. 6 are still missing. This is going to be a major blow to the economy of Baltimore, the traffic flow of Baltimore. This is going to be years in repair because the bridge, it's not a patch job. Bridge is gone.
Right. So my thought about it was basically like this. I knew that a lot of people you'd like to say, you know, they look at the economy as a whole and they say, look at what Joe Biden's done to the economy, right? They do. Look at the Biden economics or Bidenomics or whatever they call it. And when I saw this story, my first thought was, one, tragic for the lives that were potentially lost.
Yeah.
Second thought was, This is going to have economic ripple effects. So,
the first thing you brought up. Yeah.
Right, because Baltimore is a major shipping
port. The Chesapeake Bay is a major
huge,
shipping.
Right?
Yep.
So now you have this shutdown for a number of days. Prices are going to go up artificially for some consumer goods. This is just the way that economics works.
Sure, you bet.
And so what you'll see, I'm going to ballpark it in about 2 weeks, what you'll see is some issues with the consumer price index.
Yeah.
And then people are going to say, Joe Biden had this great stock market. Why is the consumer price index going up? Not realizing that this is one of the reasons. When the Houthi rebels shut down that shipping lane going off the east coast of Africa, that is an issue. That's going to cause ripple effects. So what I think that people need to think about when something like this happens, this isn't so much a local event as people might think that it is, because this is going to have an impact on that entire waterway, potentially for months, if not years.
Maybe years to come.
You know, right.
That Baltimore's one of the major importers of vehicles coming overseas to America. I mean, from Europe. Right? They come into the port of Baltimore. There are literally tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of new automobiles annually brought in through the port of Baltimore and sent across the East Coast. Food that's grown along the Mid-Atlantic seaboard, Ohio, Virginia, all those, that's all railed into Baltimore and then shipped out of Baltimore to other parts of the world. This is a major.
So you could drive like 1,000 miles, let us just say.
One could say, it'd be better if you sang it, but you could.
What, you could go maybe driving 1,000 miles if you could just see.
I could just drive that bridge again.
If you, yeah, so that is a big part of, you can keep it going, Andrew. Yeah. That was a big part of your youth?
I remember when the Key Bridge went up. It's a beautiful.
Could you get downtown on the Key Bridge?
You get downtown. Yeah, it was one of two ways to get downtown.
Okay.
Well, you had to drive around the whole city, another hour worth of traffic.
Right.
Yeah.
And you're going to miss it.
Yeah, I'm going to miss it.
And you need it.
I need it. It's a heartbreaking sight for anybody who's ever been in that part of the country. Yeah.
Come on, this is a Grammy-nominated song, Spike. What are you doing talking about the sadness? This is one of the best-written songs of all time, dude.
Six people are missing, Jack.
Right.
I know.
Well, I mean, I understand. I'm not trying to make light of tragedy. You can kill it now, Andrew.
No, it's
apparently, I can't have a good time.
It's actually helping. No, it's helping me, Jack.
I'm saying is that I understand that there's tragedy that's attached to this. But what I resent what we do as Americans deeply is that we look at a tragedy like there's a catastrophic error in this way, and all of a sudden we go, ooh, right? We go, very personal.
Yeah.
Tragedy like this, industrial scale tragedy like this, happens every single day in the developed world.
Yeah.
Look at the boatyards in Sri Lanka or in India where they strip old boats.
Okay.
There are these, they're talking about massive shipping containers.
Like salvaging, right? Yeah.
Yeah, but what they do is, because it's all done by hand,
right?
So they're working in basically mud flats, and they're taking off panels of steel off the sides of these boats where dozens of people die on a regular basis.
Yeah,
now, those are American boats being stripped by people. And what are our thoughts about those people? Nary a word, right?
Not a word, yeah.
There is a village that is built around the runoff from one of the world's largest trash repositories, landfills outside of Rio de Janeiro.
Yeah.
There's an entire community that lives off of the runoff from that waste, that landfill.
Yeah, it's a toxic
where they dig around looking for gold and precious metals.
Right.
Dozens of people die on a regular basis because the walls collapse in on it. Nobody says a word about it.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden we have tragedy in the United States and people go, if we could only. I think that when we have kind of sporadic empathy in that way, it's actually deeply unhealthy. Because I have empathy all the time for all beings, right?
You're a global kind of guy.
I'm a think global, shop local.
Beautiful.
I just don't buy into this thing of like every time there is one tragedy or another one that there's no way that we can't talk about it in a particular way. We'll take a really quick break. When we get back, Jake Skorheim's coming in. Costco's cracking down on its food court. I heard G and Ursula talk about this earlier. You now need to show your membership card to eat there. I think that this is problematic for a number of reasons.
Really?
We shall discuss when we get back right after this.
Cringe.
Someday people will have cassette tapes.
Or based.
You know what's a really good deterrent to thieves? Snakes. Cringe or based, a fun game we like to play every day at 1:34. Costco is cracking down on its food court. You now need to show your membership card to eat there. Thankfully, joining us in the studio, Jake Skorheim, attorney at law. That's right, Jake Skorheim, Esquire.
That's going to stick. Somebody out there is going to think I'm an actual attorney.
Well, I think
which is fine.
I heard someone say Skorheim, Skorheim, and Skorheim. And so,
yeah.
And so I thought to myself, that's a great name for a legal.
That's a law firm your boys will found.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Right?
There you go. Sounds also like a plumbing company, but we'll see.
Yeah, maybe even a bail bonds, right? So Costco is now cracking down on your food court membership. So if you go into Costco and you don't have the fun little card, you don't actually get to have the fun hot dog, which is gross, or the chicken, which is gross, or the pizza, which is gross, or whatever it is. I'm sorry,
right?
Jake. Dude. Some of us are elitists over here, and we don't put poison in our bodies.
Costco feeds my family.
No.
Yes. Yes, they do. And you know who loves a $1.50 hot dog?
Dad.
This guy.
This old, yeah, exactly. Right here. You bet.
Yeah, that's my reward for taking all my kids to Costco and getting past all of the samples and walking them down the toy aisle.
Yeah.
I get at the end of that, I used to get a churro, but I no longer get that because Costco discontinued those and replaced them with a big cookie.
Yeah.
And now I get a hot dog, which I think is fantastic. I love it.
Do you go do you go kosher or do you get the American?
They don't offer that anymore.
What?
They just offer one type. Uh-huh. I think they just offer one type of hot dog.
It's one type of dog.
Is it kosher?
No.
No.
Okay.
No.
Now Costco's anti-Semitic. We all understand what's actually going on.
No, they're not. No, they're not. I love Costco. I'm wearing a Costco shirt right now. This is a Costco brand shirt. I think I might even be wearing Costco pants. I'm a 40-year-old man, and we love Costco.
Kirk's rules, buddy.
So, but do you think that the membership card requirement is onerous or burdensome on people who might otherwise benefit from a $1.50 hot dog?
Well, I mean, clearly it would be nice if they just opened it up to the public. Mm-hmm. I understand why they don't, because, you know, they're trying to entice people to get in. They want people to buy memberships.
Sure,
that's where they make all their money.
One of the perks of membership, yeah.
Yeah, they want to sell the memberships. This actually happened to me once, and I can understand the frustration of all your listeners out there who have experienced something like this. Before I had my own Costco membership, my wife had a membership from like way, way, way back when. I don't even know when she got it, but she had it. So there was no need for me to have a membership. So I just used her card. I did not have her with me one time. I did not have her card with me. And my son, ironically, today, like 6 years ago, because he was 3 years old at the time. Happy birthday to my oldest son today.
All right. Aww. Well, we actually have a little bit of a tradition on this show, Jake.
Is there a birthday song you guys sing?
That's just from us.
My wife has a rule.
Hi, Mr. President.
On somebody's birthday, sing happy birthday. You ready?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday,
little Skorheim.
Happy birthday to you.
Thank you, Mr. President. He calls in every time.
That's sweet. What a nice guy to do that.
He had a lot of free time.
He got a lot of free time. He doesn't really do that much.
That's great.
He just kind of waits around for us to do our show.
He just waits
for
somebody says happy birthday.
So what happened with your kid?
All right, so this is a ridiculous thing, but it did happen, and I kind of feel bad that the lady at the door probably looks back and regrets having to do this. So we get up to the door. It's like I pick him up after preschool. I'm like, what do you want to do, buddy? And he wants to go get an ice cream at Costco. Not an ice cream, like a frozen yogurt, whatever they have.
Mm-hmm.
And he's 3 years old. So first we stop off and he gets a balloon. It's like an old 1950s looking thing. You know, like I'm walking there. He's got a balloon on a stick. He's walking and he's like toddling away. Oh. And I'm holding his hand. I'm it just looks adorable.
It's
looks like a postcard.
Yeah.
Very Rockwellian. Yeah. When Norman Rockwell used to take his kids to go get hot dogs.
Captured America.
And so I'm walking into the Costco and I start walking through the left side. Normally you go on the right side, you get into the Costco. But on the left side, you just go straight to the food court. And the lady stops me. And she goes, oh, I need to see your Costco card. I'm like, oh, no, you don't understand. I'm just going to the food court. And this is when we lived in Issaquah. So I'm like, maybe this was their pilot program that they're now rolling out
global.
The rest of the country.
Yeah.
So we get to the door. She says, you can't go to the thing. You just got to show your card. Now, of course, I didn't have a membership. My wife did.
Mm.
And this is never an issue before. And I'd gone in many, many times. And so she goes, oh, you can't come in. And I'm like, I'm sitting there. I'm like kind of motioning down at my kid. Like, how can you deny this adorable little face? My face isn't horrible either. And she goes, I'm sorry. You just like, you can't without a card. I'm not going to let you in. And so I said, all right. I'm feeling really awkward at this point. I'm also feeling like, you know, like I was trying to, I almost felt like guilty. Like I had been breaking a rule or something. So that wasn't cool. So my son and I, we turn around and I think she now sees the visuals of what she's just done. She sees that this like, you know, adorable father and his even more adorable son are walking away. He's got this balloon. I'm like, oh, we'll do something else for your birthday, buddy. And she's like, she yells after us and we're like, 100 yards away at this point. She goes, no, you can come back. You can bring him in for an ice cream.
Aww.
And I was just like, no, it's no big deal.
You get some sleep tonight there, soulless.
I did. No, I felt spiteful. And I was like, this is going to sting her more than it stings me. And I wanted it and I liked it. And I was like, no, it's just his birthday. It's not a big deal. We can get ice cream somewhere else. And she goes, no, come back. And we did not. and we went somewhere else. And so, you know, I have experienced Costco shunning you for not having your card. Of course I do now, so I don't worry about it. But for other people out there who don't have a card, you know, I feel your pain.
I lived with a guy who, my buddy Ian, who is half Japanese, and he has very long, curly, jet black hair.
Okay. Right?
And so he says to me when we were living together, he goes, can you go to Costco when you go grocery shopping, pick up a couple of things because it's cheaper? And I go, I don't have a card. And he goes, just use mine. And I go, I'm not half Japanese, and I don't have foot-length, curly hair. Yeah. They're going to know instantly. And he goes, no, it's not going to be an issue whatsoever. So he gives me the card. I flip it around. It's so, the photo quality is so bad that if you kind of, sort of, like, squint while you're looking at me, you go, yeah, that's the guy.
Yes.
I got, went right in. No issues whatsoever.
Yeah. Did you actually show him the
showed him the card.
ID-looking thing?
Here's the thing,
look,
you guys.
Look how bad my picture
went right
is.
In.
Yeah, you can't tell.
You can't,
like,
you can't tell.
You can't.
Right.
I could go shopping at Costco
you
with
could
that.
With this card. Here,
right. I'm just saying that there, my thoughts about this, though, is that there are restaurants out there, you see this kind of regular on social media, and what they do is a service to their community. They have receipts for food that's already been purchased. And so you, if you're homeless or if you're very, very poor,
you
take it off the little board and you walk up to the front and you say, this is my meal, and they give it to you, no questions asked.
Yeah.
If Costco wants to have a lot of social media clout and have a lot of people really like them on the internet, they would have this policy.
So they just let anybody in to get free food?
No, you get a receipt. There's a receipt on the outside of Costco.
We as members go in and we prepay a hot dog or a chicken roll. Or whatever it is. Yeah.
Pay it forward.
You pay
it Starbucks
forward. So you prepay, you get the receipt, you put it on the board, and someone says they walk in without the card and they take it off the board and they go get that hot dog for free.
But they don't want that.
But they
want,
should.
They want somebody to come in and buy a membership. That's what they want.
That's because it's a greedy megacorp, and that's why I don't like megacorps, because they're greedy.
Well, Costco had a real problem with people sharing their membership cards. I mean, because a lot of people, I mean, I don't know what the number was or how much money of Costco's revenue comes from membership.
Yeah, it's the majority, I believe.
Yeah, it supplements the lower prices they're allowed to offer their customers. So they had, lately, you can't, every time you go to Costco now, they want to see your photo ID, and they're checking photo IDs now at every checkout.
It's like Netflix and password sharing. They don't want you sharing your password, and Costco doesn't want you sharing your membership
cards. This is because they're greedy megacorps.
Disagree. Agree to disagree, right? Is that this segment? Is that what it's called?
And I'm not sure they're going to be crazy about the homeless coming in the middle of the day to grab free food. What if they did an hour at the end of the day or something?
What if there's like a backdoor situation, right? Like what if we have a backdoor situation where we say, hey, look at all these hot dogs that we made. Nobody's going to eat them.
Right. Come and get them.
Come on up. You can go in the back way.
What if we put them all in a satchel and started throwing them at people while we drove away?
A bindle. Perfect.
We toss them at people as we're driving away. Free hot dogs. Jake Skorheim, attorney of law, can be heard every single night on Cairo Radio.
Solution oriented.
Thank you guys. Appreciate it. Skorheim
is a fine law
firm. If you're hit with a hot dog on the hot side,
Cairo Night's a very difficult show to produce all by your lonesome.
Yeah,
and Jake does a phenomenal job of it. Highly recommend you listen to the podcast. When we get back, no stupid questions. You can ask any question your heart desires at 888-973-5476.
No stupid questions,
only stupid answers.
Yes,
so many questions, so many answers, so little time. On Powerball, some people were upset with me because I said that money doesn't buy happiness, right? And we have this kind of fixation on consumerism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this is a great comment because it allows me to clarify my argument even further as to why people shouldn't play Powerball. This person says that there's some flaws in your argument. I like money because it allows me to fulfill my life with great experiences. Since becoming well off, I've been able to travel the world. Also, people usually have nostalgia towards youth, which happens when we are poor. But those memories are when we are still discovering the world and what it has to offer. Everything is new again. That'd be the lurking variable that you're not accounting for. But I also agree that the lottery is garbage and is a tax on the poor in order to sell hope. I've long had that same feeling, just not the same argument. So
John sign that? Or
thanks, Mr. Curley. Appreciate that.
Sorry.
My thought was that you spend money on things like traveling,
mm-hmm.
on things like tools, meaning like if you're spending money on cooking things, musical instruments, tools for your garage,
okay.
this is money well spent.
Okay, cool.
When I talk about consumerism, I'm talking about all the trappings of garbage that we don't need. Does that make sense?
Bigger TV, fancier car.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So I'll give you guys a gift. Like, the one thing that my grandfather and I ever did together that was not wrought with physical abuse, verbal abuse, emotional abuse. Do you know what I mean? There was no yelling. It was nothing but a joyous experience between a boy and his grandfather is when we took his childhood dinner table and we made it into a coffee table.
Wow.
It was made from wood. From Everett, when Everett was, you know,
a smaller town. Yeah.
And his dad got a bunch of wood from the lumber mill up there, and he built a dining room table. And then later, we were sat in the garage, and it had a bunch of, you know, it wasn't sealed, and it wasn't very smooth. And so we sanded it down. We put sealer on it. We shaved off the legs so that it was level again. That's my most prized possession. Nice. Spike, you helped me move it into my apartment.
That's right. You saw
it, right?
Yeah, it did.
And so in my mind, when people say, yeah, so money makes you happy, so I can buy trash. That's what we want to avoid is I have money so that I can buy a $10,000 coffee table. I have money so that I can go buy Amazon Basics or whatever it is.
Yeah.
That is what I'm against. I am not in any way, shape, or form against people owning things.
Right.
What I'm against is this idea that there are things out there that we can provide or make for ourselves, and the experience is fulfilling to the soul, or we can have an underpaid laborer come and drop it off at our house and get mad at our girlfriend because the instructions are written in Spanish, Sharon. What am I supposed to do? No español. That's consumerism.
It's crass over consumerism.
Exactly.
Yeah, completely
exactly.
Agree.
So but I think that's a fine argument to have as well. On Spike being an enabling dad, I made this argument earlier that Spike is a dad-aholic, meaning he can't stop being a dad. Mona from Tacoma says, are you going to be a perfect parent, Jack? Oh, I see. A little bit of friction here from Mona from Tacoma. Says, you won't be like your parents, but trust me, all the things you think you want to do for your child will work out completely the opposite. Oh, will it, Mona? Oh, will it? You say you'll do this, but then you'll end up doing that. No, actually, I don't. When I say things like, I'm not going to hit my kids, that's kind of written in stone.
Yep,
I'm not going to all of a sudden turn into Tyson with my kids the second that my two-year-old drops some grape juice. So that's just kind of insulting. But when people say, like, you say you'll do this, but you'll end up doing that, in some instances, sure, I'm sure that's the case. But I've read too much about the neurodevelopment of children to decide, like, yeah, you know, just slapping my kid because they won't brush their teeth, that'll be good for their mental health. Do you know what I mean?
I hear you.
Like, and on
You're
top of that,
a great parent,
like
dude.
When I said, like, I'm not going to let my kids have refined sugars because all the data is really concise on that. It's not like I'm going to be like, yeah, you know, we don't give little Johnny over here. He's named after John Curley. We don't give little Johnny over here any sugars because that's bad for him. And then be cracking Red Bulls 2 weeks later. Here you go, little Curly. Drink up, little man.
You just have to wait for him to beg you with big eyes for the Red Bull and then see how you resist.
The reason I'm going to name my first child after John Curley is just out of resentment for John. Does that make sense?
No.
Because John didn't name his child after himself.
Okay.
So I do it, right?
Okay.
And so then I name John my child after.
So you'll have John Curley the third and the fourth. You'll take over his lineage.
Well, it'll
screw
be.
Yourself.
Hi, John.
You'll screw yourself.
So my first child's name will be John Curley Stein.
Okay.
That'll be my first child. And then for his stage name, he'll shorten it just to John Curley. So there'll be a lot of clout.
Naturally.
See, and I'll do all this purely out of spite against John, who decided to name his child Rye for some reason. Yeah. What is the deal with this, John? You have a lineage of a name. I shall be stealing it from you. And that's the way that works.
Well, somebody from the 907 called and put a really good point on what you had made, the point you had made during that comment. The conversation. You only do things for your children until they can do those things for themselves.
I like
that.
And
that's where I fall down.
In case Mona's still listening, by the way, I just want to clarify. Mona, I enjoy your text message very much, and I was just having a little bit of a goof and a gaff at your expense, and I appreciate your texting in.
Yeah. And if you're single, Mona.
And if you're single, Mona, I just completed something that's called a lifted dancer, also known as a king dancer in yogic circles. And if you Google that image, you will then have an image of your mind of what I was able to do on Sunday. And then you will say to yourself, that is a limber and flexible young man.
If you find the image on social media, just understand that Jack will be a better looking version of that physical maneuver being shown you on the Google internet.
So. I know. I feel like when I go on my first date, it's going to be like a like when a peacock goes on a first date. You know what I mean?
You know the term peacocking, right?
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But I'm like, look what I can do. I'm going to be twisting my body in all these positions. Look what I can do, pretty lady. We'll take a really quick break when we get back. Curly's coming in for a couple of few, talking about why young people are getting Botox. I don't know if John's ever had any work done.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm going to bite through my tongue and not say anything.
We'll have to ask.
Wow. Wage gap in Washington shows women and minorities continue to get that is a difficult series of words to say on terrestrial radio without having an utterance. Someone at My Northwest has to work on their copy, because if you say shrift.
Yeah.
That is a dangerous series of words to say on terrestrial radio.
I appreciate the caution exercised by you in that sentence.
And we'll talk about it more when we get back right after this.